Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins.
Hey folks, welcome back to a brand new episode of the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, me, A.P. Fuchs. So just welcome again. Thank you for joining the show. Thank you for keeping up with the show this far. I appreciate it. And I just want to say, you know, as an introduction, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in on YouTube. So if you're a watcher, listener, thanks for doing that. If you're a listener, thanks for tuning in via the audio channels. Much appreciated. You know, be sure to subscribe. Be sure to like the videos. Like the audio, leave comments, you know, boost that algorithm, help the show grow, you know, be a part of it. We're all in this together. But I wanted to dive right into movie monsters as our pop culture talk. And here's a bit of a story slash history about it. I'm going to talk about the one, the only Freddy Krueger. All right. So check this out. So my first introduction to Freddy was this. Elementary school, we had a large backfield, and on either side of the field was a forested area with a trail running through it. So as kids, you could, you know, go through this trail and play and hide and seek and have fun and that sort of thing. So I was going through one of the forests and I found, torn out of a magazine, a picture of Freddy. I didn't know who he was or what this is all about, because I grew up in a conservative Roman Catholic Christian home. So horror movies were not allowed, period. End of story. So I pick up this picture and there's this guy with this melty face and it's all cratery. He's got the hat. You see the top half of his outfits. So he's got the red and black striped shirt and of course the glove with the blades. And I'll tell you, this image scared the crap out of me as a kid. I was terrified. You know, I dropped it and left it alone and went about my childhood business. And then that image of that man never left my brain. And off and on throughout the years, going through grade school and high school and whatnot, once in a blue moon, we'll say once every 2 to 3 years, I would have a Freddy dream. I would dream about him, you know, and this isn't me not knowing that Freddy was a dream killer, like in the storylines, but I would have a Freddy dream. And in the dreams, you know, he was never out to kill me. He was out to haunt me, and he would follow me around. I'd be doing whatever I'd be doing in the dream, and but Freddy would be somewhere I knew in the back, watching, waiting, you know. And then when I did see him, oh, did I run. I have one dream where I remember he appeared in my house, my childhood home, and I ran out across the street to the neighbors across the bay, because I lived on a bay, and to the neighbor's house, and I looked across the street and cop cars had pulled up and the lights were going and Freddy was in the window just staring at me. So time goes on and years later, I'm 18 years old. I had moved out, I got my own place, I lived alone, and I decided I'm going to watch a horror movie. And so what did I do? I went to the video store, because the video store still existed at that time, and I went and rented A Nightmare on Elm Street, the original. And I came back, I watched it, and it was, you know, it was a sort of a two-point experience. One is I was facing my fear. I was watching Freddy. So that's a good thing. So the only way to face or to beat fear is to face it. There's no magic solution for fear. That's a life tip. You have to face it. So I was facing my fear. And then I was, of course, watching the movie. And, you know, the movie, yeah, it had its scary moments and its creepy moments and suspenseful moments. But it wasn't so bad. Freddy was scary, sure, but he didn't terrify me as I thought he would. And I watched the movie, you know, and afterwards I had some of the scarier scenes replay in my head over and over, so that kind of spooked me a little bit. But in the end, I ended up taking it back to the video store and I rented the rest of the series. And I think at that time, what was the last one? I think it was number 7. It was called like A Final Nightmare or something along those lines. Something like that. And yeah, so I watched the whole thing. And of course they got progressively more silly as the series went on. But yeah, I got to watch the first one and face my fear. And then Freddy, though, ever since, you know, even when I see him at Comic Cons, like people dressed up as Freddy, I had that little moment of, you know, the little burrs that go through you, like, oh, that's a bad dude. Yeah. So anyway, Dream Monsters. There we go. Okay. So on the creative front, though, I'm doing something really cool, and it'll be live and running by the time this episode airs. But I've been working on a merchandise shop. I've been wanting to do one for years and years and years. I had one a long time ago. We're talking era, like Cafe Press era, what is that, like 2006, 2007. I had a few items on there. And it wasn't that, you know, I sold a couple of things, but it wasn't that successful. I did use them to promote my first book, A Stranger Dead. I made a sweatshirt with the tagline, "If you knew who the Antichrist was, would you kill him?" And I mean, yeah, I made that for promo purposes, though. I even made a custom hat with my initials on it, APF. And I wore that around a little bit. But anyway, so I started this new store. And the reason I started it was, one is I wanted to get back into it, merchandise. Two, I wanted to share my art. So it was a way. So it's a way to share my art, because I could put my art on different items and objects and merchandise. And the thing that's most appealing to me is the selection of things you could put your art on now. Like before, it was limited to just basically apparel, like t-shirts, sweatshirts, and hats, and that was more or less it. A couple stickers, but nothing you know, flamboyant or crazy. But now you could put your art on like everything. So in the store, I'm putting it on stuff that I think cool. And one of the cool things for me, because I'm a collector of playing cards, I have my art now on a few decks of playing cards. And that is really cool. And I'm going to get some and put them in my collection. But it'd be Axiom trading cards and Monster trading cards. Trading cards, playing cards. You could trade them if you want. I'm not going to stop you. But yeah. I'm really looking forward to sharing those with people, because playing cards are my thing. But of course, there's going to be shirts and some hats and, you know, really cool artwork. Stuff that I've created, stuff that I think is my better work. And also, I got permission to use some artwork from artists that I've worked with over the years. They allowed me to take their art and put it on some merchandise as well. In the description for the merchandise, I've given them credit for the artwork, because I believe that's important, that an artist is credited for what they do, whether it's an artist or a writer, pick a craft. So yeah, so look for some AP Fuchs merchandise, and there'll be links, you'll see it. And yeah, please support that way, you know, if you see something that's cool. And there is some really cool items, like one of them is a Zippo letter, Zippos are awesome, so, you know, consider that. Anyway, that's enough plugging away, but that's what I've been doing creatively, and again, by the time the episode airs, the store will be up and running, and well, I hope you like what you see. So anyway, we're here for story time, so let's get right into it. Episode 9, Sniper. Those dumb bastards, I thought. They can barely walk, and never mind about them talking. One leg dragging behind the other. Must have been a hell of a bar night, I sniffed. As if that's the case here. I paused and was dismayed to find myself laughing at my own lame jokes. Was that what I had come to? Some horrible, self-entertaining comedian? I lined up the rifle at the guy shuffling down the street. Well, shuffling wasn't the right way to describe his walk. He used his right leg to pull the rest of his body forward as he made his way down the sidewalk, just like the guy some dozen feet behind him. Brain dead is what they are. All of them. Yet, there's got to be something rattling around upstairs. How else could you walk? I leaned against the windowsill. The glass that once covered it had been knocked out a long time ago. I was on the second floor of a warehouse, an old blue jean factory by the looks of it, what with some denim laying around in the dust here and there. Yet judging by the stacks of boxes and crates all over the place, it seemed it went from jean factory to storage at some point. Storage for what? Who knew? And I don't have the time to look through everything, not with Captain Rotten down there almost within shooting distance. I lined up my shot, but would have to wait roughly another minute for the walking dead man below to get close enough for me to peg him between the eyes. I could shoot a rifle just like any idiot, but who knew how to pull a trigger? But my aim wasn't that good at far distances. Then, really, whose was? The stuff you saw on TV, it ain't real. Once heard someone refer to them as improbable headshots. Totally true. Though I hate guns, they do take skill if you want to consistently hit your mark. Captain Rotten got closer. Now I could see a chunk of his face was missing. Or maybe it was just the way his baseball hat cast a shadow on his face. Hard to say. His jaw just kind of hung there slack, as if he tasted something but couldn't quite get that invisible burger into his mouth. He pulled himself forward, one step, two, slow. I waited, staring down the barrel, finger on the trigger. I kept him in my sights the whole time and thought, what had this world come to? Where was everybody? Were those two Walking Dead guys out there representatives of the entire human race? If so, then maybe I was the only one left. But you've always been the only one, I thought. Or so it always felt like it, just me and a sea of zombies. It started with those blasted cell phones. Sorry, smartphones. Everyone pretty much zoned out after that. One step, two. Captain Rotten got closer. I made sure the end of the barrel kept in line with that sweet spot between his eyes. Another few seconds and I nail him. Then I get the guy coming up behind him not long after. Closer. Captain Rotten had something in his hand. Looked like a mitt full of meat. I took my shot. Thanks again for sticking around to the very, very end of the episode, past the credits. I appreciate it. And, of course, if you're listening on audio, past all the dum-dum-dum music. But here's an interesting little fact for you. And, oh, man. Okay. Apparently, apples, peaches, and raspberries are all members of the rose family. So next time you want to get your sweetheart a bouquet of roses, get her a bag of apples or something like that. And then when she complains, you could come back with two things. You could say, well, hey, apple a day keeps the doctor away. Or say, no, honey, this is part of the rose family. I just got you a bag of roses. So, anyway, we'll see how well that goes over if you try it. All right, have fun. See you next episode. Bye.